Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close-Up Radio, which is a service of the Telly Award-winning Close-Up Television and Radio. Nice to have you with us. Also, always a pleasure, Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, to welcome and continue the conversation we have with Dr. Michael Armer. And we've been focusing on what makes highly successful people tick during this month of July, including feeling a true sense of elation about one's work, strategic goals, and life. Dr. Mike calls this finding joy in the game. And during the course of the month of July, we've been talking about and continue to talk about how to recognize joy, how to find it, how to maintain it, particularly when it comes to career choices. Now, before closing out, of course, the sizzling summer months, we're also going to be touching upon success at every stage of the game as well as we go along, so stay tuned for that. But a little bit about the doctor, if you are not familiar with him, this is the first time maybe you're even discovering the conversation with Dr. Mike, I do encourage you to go back in the archives and hear all the other episodes we've had. They are extraordinary. Dr. Mike Armer has compiled an exceptional leadership record in far-ranging fields of endeavor. He is truly a multidimensional achiever and is consistently put in demand as a keynote speaker and leadership advisor. His areas of emphasis have included management, cultural transformation, strategic business growth, shaping high-trust organizations, and his insights into the executive mindset are invaluable. And they've earned him numerous honors, including best-selling author, which is incredible. You can learn more about all of that with his websites. We're going to talk about that and how you can avail yourself of the opportunity of getting his materials and having his resources and so much more. This is really fantastic. We're really looking forward to this particular conversation because as we continue on this episode, what is true joy? Now, last week it was success at every stage of the game, and on today's episode, what is true joy? So listen in, folks. Call your friends and neighbors. Tell them tune in because this is going to be an extraordinary conversation. Always, Dr. Mike is, I have no problem vouching because I've met him personally. He's a professional. He's very affable. He's very creative. He's got a quick wit. He's incredibly experienced. He's dedicated. He's loyal to his clients. And he's a spirited and grounded human being. He's not into nonsense and fake, phony stuff. This is a guy that really speaks from his heart and is the real deal. Again, I've met him personally. I've worked with him on projects through Close Up Television Radio. And he really is an empowering and inspired individual and faith-based, which is a wonderful grounding as well. So with that said, let's welcome Dr. Mike. That's from my own personal experience. Let's welcome Dr. Mike back to our show for this fascinating conversation. Dr. Mike, welcome back to Close Up Radio. Always a pleasure.
Well, thank you. It's a joy to be back, and thank you for those warm words. I have such a high regard for you and the working relationship we've had. Those comments are particularly meaningful. I appreciate them greatly.
What we have just exchanged for each other on a Monday, true joy.
That's right.
That's how you get started with it, folks. You know, last week, Dr. Mike, we talked about this concept of the joy of the game. What is the joy of the game? And maybe we can sort of, you know, remind our audience or folks tuning in, maybe briefly touch on that, and then tell us why the joy of the game is so crucially important.
Well, let me take you up on that suggestion that maybe we do a little refresher for those who were with us last week, but a quick intro for those who are joining us for the first time in this particular discussion. The joy of the game is a phrase that I began to use a number of years ago to describe what we should gain or experience in those areas of life that take up the vast majority of our energy, our time, and our imagination. Family is one of those. My community service may be one of those. For most of us, our job is the place that we devote the greatest amount of our time and our energy and has more of our focus than perhaps any other aspect of our life. And I call all of those games because there are certain rules that have to be observed if you're going to succeed in those, and each one of them has as a goal success. I have certain goals for success with my family, certain goals of success for the work I do, the profession I pursue, and in my community service, if I'm involved in that, or church-related work. I have certain standards of success there. And so we're all pursuing goals in those areas. What I want to do is to help us understand that we can achieve our goals and still only have succeeded in gaining what I call lowercase s, not capital letters, lowercase success, not capital letter success. Capital letter success comes when, yes, I'm able to achieve my goals, but I found real joy in that game. And the joy that I will get from my profession will be different from the joy that I get from a robust family life and a healthy relationship with those who are my loved ones and my circle of friends. But down deep underneath, joy is all alike. Joy is that aspect of our existence which goes beyond happiness. We talked last week about we have the word enjoy and the word joy, and though they are very similar and come from the same root, they really denote two different things. Enjoyment is an emotion. Joy is a state of being. And because enjoyment is an emotion, it can come and go very quickly, like all of our emotions can. But joy has a permanence. It has a deep, abiding presence well within the core of our being, so that even when we go through times of challenge, sadness, disappointment, defeat, that joy remains underneath there, bubbling up through the experience, so that there are certain benefits that I have that I would not otherwise be able to derive from life. Joy sparks our imagination. It gives us energy and enthusiasm that comes from no other source. That energy and enthusiasm to stay with it, even when the game is tough, even when I'm getting worn down by what the game demands of me, still my imagination remains vivid, my energy remains high, my enthusiasm maintains a high level. And when we can experience that, then we're positioning ourselves to have what I call that capital letter success. You see, our success literature and our success keynotes are built around a notion that leaves us vulnerable, because they talk about having goals, having desired outcomes, having dreams and aspirations. And those things are out there in the future. But what if I'm pursuing success out there in the future, but then I have a crippling car accident, or I develop a disabling disease so that I can never get to that goal? Does that mean I'm a failure because I didn't have success? If success is out there in the future, then I will never, in some cases, have the opportunity to attain it, because life will throw incidents into my life that stop me short of living long enough or preserving my health long enough to ever get that goal. But if along the way I really found joy in the pursuit, who's going to say that I'm a failure? The joy becomes the thing that is my reward now that will be then complemented by and supplemented by actually attaining the goal. But if I attain the goal without joy, I've achieved. In my sense of the word, I haven't really succeeded because I managed to achieve, but running a high risk all the way through, the high risk that if I died or became disabled short of that moment, I never had success. I want everyone to wrap up the last chapter, the last moment of his or her life, being able to feel I had success. And the way to do that is to find joy in what we're doing every day. And if we're in a game that we cannot profile in such a way that we're gaining joy from it, then maybe we need to consider changing games.
Yes, right. Exactly. And that's a powerful statement, but maybe it is time to refocus, reboot, and look at other things one is to do. Last week, you also distinguished between enjoying an experience and really experiencing true joy, and you describe them as distinct. So since you distinguish between enjoyment and true joy, I take it that you also see a difference between an I do, and I love that we're talking about this because they're truly, I've had major conversations on this. There are differences between happiness and genuine joy. For me, just personally, real quick, to me, joy is much deeper, richer, longer lasting, purer, and happiness is more fleeting, and you always feel like you're chasing it, and you have to create happy, and you're questioning your happiness, where joy is just this incredible, deep feeling that you get that, again, is a longer-lasting scenario. Again, that's from my perspective, but from your perspective, tell us the differences between happiness and genuine joy, and if maybe there's some similarity to what I just said, and what some of the differences would be.
Well, I think there's a tremendous overlap between what I'm saying and what you've just observed. As you were describing happiness, I got to thinking about Disney World, which Walt Disney brought into creation as the happiest place on earth. And those of us who've ever gone through Disney World, those of us who've gone through Disneyland or later Disney World, have experienced that happiness. And things can be going really bad in my life, and I may be discouraged and dispirited, but a day at Disneyland or a day at Disney World really sort of takes it away from the forefront of my thinking. I really feel suddenly an energy and an enjoyment of the day that I haven't felt in ages. But tomorrow, when I'm no longer in the amusement park, but back into the grind, the happiness is gone. Joy, as you said, has an abiding quality that happiness doesn't. And it's interesting that our Declaration of Independence lists as one of our inalienable rights the pursuit of happiness. It doesn't guarantee us the pursuit of joy, because no one can take that away from us. I can pursue joy no matter what the government is, what the society is like, what my family history has been. The pursuit of joy is ours because we are human beings. Yes, the Declaration says that the pursuit of happiness is one of those things too, but I've always been intrigued that they chose the word happiness there. Life, liberty. Now, when you're going to come up with the third word in the phrase, what will you equate? What will you equate with life and liberty as being so important we call them inalienable rights? They chose happiness. But if I can find joy, I will no longer need to pursue happiness because it will find me time and time again. Joy is a state of being. It's not an emotion. We can't pursue it the way we can pursue happiness. We can only uncover it within ourselves. One of my closest friends today is someone who was one of my heroes when I was in high school, because he and I ran the same events in track and field. The basic difference was, and he was only 4 years older than me, the basic difference was I was still struggling to get out of the state meet, out of the district meet to go to the state competition. And he was setting world records in the Olympics. Other than that, there wasn't a whole lot of difference between us. I never dreamed in those days that later in life he would be one of my closest friends and one of my strongest supporters and ardent encouragers. His name's Earl Young. Earl, at 19, won a gold medal in the 1960 Olympics in Rome. Now, Earl was fast. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated in 1961 in an article that talked about how he was probably going to be the dominant quarter-mile runner of his age. The interesting thing is he was determined that he was going to be everything he could be, and he found great joy in running. And he ran, and he ran, and he ran because the joy it gave him. And as he perfected his skill, he was soon recognized right early in his college career as a freshman as someone who was on the border of setting a world record. He goes to the Olympics, runs in the 400-meter relay. The 400-meter. And ties the Olympic record at 19 and did not get on the stand. He came in sixth. He tied the Olympic record, and five people ahead of him broke the Olympic record. Now, you stop and think about that for a moment. You train and train and train, and that's your mark. I'm going to the Olympics. If I can just tie or beat the Olympic record, and you come in sixth. So was he a failure? Disappointed? Yes. But the joy of what he had accomplished, how many 19-year-olds are going to tie the Olympic record in track and field? That's an almost exclusive club that he's in. Now, just to show you what the guy's made of, the next day he went out and won a gold medal in the 4x400 race, set a new world record that relay team did, and it was his leg of the race that gave them the world record. So he was just as fast as he had trained to be. But I've often thought it would have been real interesting to sit and talk with him over a soft drink that night after he came in sixth, after hitting the mark he had strived to get all those years. But knowing Earl as I do today, I don't think his joy was diminished at all, because the joy was in the pursuit.
Yes, sometimes we lose track of that, right? It's the journey that is, with all its ups and downs and craziness and unpredictability and beautiful things that happen, it's really what it's all about. It's the journey. So there's some really good definitions of the happiness and genuine joy uniquenesses. You know, when joy wells up within us, there are some characteristic signs of it. Like I mentioned, there's a depth to it that is deeper, more long-lasting, and richer than just the fleeting, temporary, quote-unquote, happiness, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we find joy, it's infused with comfort, and it's wrapped in peace. Again, I don't mean peace from the standpoint that nothing ever ruffles me, nothing ever goes wrong in my life, but there is just a peacefulness about my being so that I'm able to cope with and rise above whatever adversity comes my way. when I'm really caught up in something that brings me joy, time evaporates. There's a deep sort of loss of the sense of what's going on around me because I am so enthralled by what's happening that this clock conscious world that I normally live in simply disappears off into the periphery. And it's at times like that that time evaporates that we come in touch with that unshakable peace that is always an accompaniment to joy, a contentment with life. Beyond that, a fulfilling sense that I found the meaning of my life. This is what I was born to be. This is what I was born to do. And so you're right. That joy wells up within us. That's why we can't pursue it. It sort of discovers us as we discover it. And one of the ways we know it is because we have these times when that infusion of comfort and peace become enwrapped in an unshakable peace and contentment with life.
Must be why, when they wrote that famous Christmas song, the words comfort and joy are in it.
Yes. Isn't it interesting how many of our Christmas songs speak of joy? Joy to the world. You know,
right.
all of these joy themes are very prevalent in our Christmas carols. But most of us settle for happiness at Christmas and don't really stop to think about, is my life this year more joyous than it was a year ago? And what am I doing to find that joy that's waiting to be uncovered inside me?
Exactly. I think we question, are we happy much more than ever? Are we joyful? Exactly. What are the signs that we've found joy in our work? I would say that you and I are blessed because we find great joy in our work. And I think partially, if not significantly, it's because the work that we do is work that lifts and inspires others to find their joy. What are some signs that you have found that reflect joy in our actual work?
People whose game I'm focused on happens to be their professional game or their employment game will often say, man, I can't believe they pay me to do this. This is so much fun, they will say. But when they describe that fun as not being able to believe they pay me to do this, that says down deep inside they've tapped the joy. One of the things that I say to people when they are not sure whether they're on the path to joy is when you think about your work away from work, is your thought process more centered on worry or on opportunity? People who have found joy aren't dismissive of the things that they may need to be worried about or to give some serious thought to, but their thoughts gravitate almost automatically to the opportunities that are there rather than being anchored in worry. And I will say to my clients, when you do what-if thinking about your work, are your what-ifs about worries or are they about opportunities and possibilities? My experience is that joyful people are always looking for the possibility. Let me come back to my friend Earl Young again. Earl continued to run through his entire adult life. When I met him, we were in our 60s. He was still running and doing very unbelievable paces in his workouts. But then he got a cold and a sniffle, and he went to the doctor. The doctor ran some tests and immediately sent him to a cancer doctor because his body was not producing any white blood cells. And it turned out he had one of the worst forms of blood cancer. And he could only survive if they could find a bone marrow match for him. They searched all the world's donor databases and found there was only one person in the world who matched him. a woman in her 40s in Germany. She was contacted. She agreed to fly to the U.S., make a donation of her cells, and he was eventually healed after a long, difficult recovery. But now then, he can no longer run. His once very muscular body, and that's what Sports Illustrated talked about, is how muscular his body was when he was running at his best in the Olympics. That muscle tone is gone from the disease and its consequences. But when he realized that there was only one person in the world who could have saved him, he said, "What I want to do now is increase the number of people in the world who are in the databases, in the registries, who can be matched to someone." And so his joy now is from having spent the last few years, and I've worked alongside him in some of this, going to college campuses and speaking to student groups and recruiting them to sign up to become potential donors. To date, the last I saw, 96 lives have been saved because of donors that he's recruited on college campuses across the United States. And I can tell you, he still has his gold medal. I've held it a number of times. He is, the joy on his face when he talks about the race that he won that gold medal is unmistakable. But the joy that's on his face when he talks about all the lives he's saved is even greater. So just because we found our joy, it doesn't mean that it is the only joy we'll ever have. There may be another joy out there that is equally meaningful, but we've got to have our eyes open to it. He could have reacted to his cancer by lamenting that all of his athletic years were gone and the things he enjoyed doing were gone. And instead, he said, "What's the opportunity in this?" and has made a much larger contribution to the well-being of mankind in the second joy of his life than he did in the first joy of his life.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. It really, really is. You know, it's, apart from that good feeling which it generates, there are lots of other benefits of finding joy in the game, as we know. And are there specific ways that the joy of the game strengthens the effectiveness of leaders and managers and executives from what you've observed in your coaching capacity?
Yes, it is, because getting in touch with our joy also gets us in touch with our sense of purpose and meaning, gives us a sense of cause. That's what Earl has found. He has found his cause. And advancing the interests of what gives me joy becomes my cause, and advancing that cause enriches my joy. They begin to sort of feed on one another. I have another good friend, very successful mortgage banker. There's nothing more mundane than writing mortgages, except that he has a value system in which he believes that his job is to make the world a better place. And if he's going to make the world a better place, he needs to help promote strong, healthy families. And so if he's going to promote strong, healthy families, one of the best ways he can do that is to put them in a home that they can benefit from and enjoy, but also afford. And so throughout his career, he has refused to make loans that he thought might possibly jeopardize this family's financial health in the future. So when we had the mortgage collapse in 2008, he happened to be one of my clients at that time. Very large company with branches all over the region, they took back one loan because they just didn't make bad loans. But what I want to say is that when he goes to a closing, he comes out with his joy renewed because he's just made the country a healthier place. He has put a family in a home that will bless them and that will therefore allow them to contribute to the health of our community. And it is a home that he knows they have very little likelihood of ever losing. And so what I'm saying is he has taken something as mundane as making loans and packaged it in his thinking in such a way that every closing revives his sense of joy in what he's doing.
That's incredible. It's so important. We're talking to Dr. Michael Armour. He's extraordinary, isn't he, folks? And we're talking about how to experience success at every stage of the game. And on this episode, what is true joy? He'll be back next week with me on the 24th of July. We're going to be talking about finding the joy in the game. This episode is being recorded in its entirety, so you can hear it in its entirety in our archives as well. Dr. Mike, best ways for people to make contact with you?
Well, my company website is leaderperfect.com. My professional speaking website is michaelarmour.com. And I haven't mentioned it on this podcast before, but I have my own leadership podcast called Upsize Your Leadership that's aimed at helping leaders, whatever their role, whatever their level of responsibility, to be more effective in it. And it's at upsizeyourleadership.com. So those are the principal ways to reach out to me.
It's always more positive when you hear upsizing versus downsizing.
Yes, it is.
That's it. You enjoy the rest of your week. Thanks for another brilliant conversation. Looking forward to the continuation next week, same time, same bat channel. Thank you, Dr. Mike.
Okay, very good. Thank you. It's been a great visit.
Absolutely. Another phenomenal conversation, Dr. Michael Armour, joining us here on Close Up Radio. Again, the episode recorded in its entirety, so you can hear it in full. This is your host, Jim Masters. Thanking you for your time this time to next time here on Close Up Radio, which means don't go anywhere. I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another fascinating guest on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.